Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Neera, the moderator for your call today. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to AIA Engineering Management Team. Thank you, and please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much. Very warm welcome to everyone, and a good evening. Thank you for joining on this call, second quarter result update for AIA. I'll dive into numbers, and then we can get into, you know, Q&A. I also have Sanjay Bhai here with me. I think second quarter has largely been in line with the first quarter. We did 77,725 metric tons of sales, which converts to around 1,273 crores of revenue. Total EBITDA comes to 444 crores, which is 34.32%. And profit after tax at 323 crores. So, and EBITDA and profit numbers are higher sequentially and also compared to second quarter last year. Same numbers for the whole year, for the half year, if I were to compare to H2 last year, we did, you know, 151,771 tons as compared to 146,000 tons 6 months last year. Converting into sales of about 2,500 crores, 2,494 crores, and which was 2,376 in the 6 months last year. EBITDA was 611 crores, which is 846 crores this 6 months, and PAT was at 435 crores, which is at about 595 crores. So there's an improvement in margin, and we'll go through unpacking some of those details. Our other income, there was export benefit of 20.94 crores, which is in line with the you know, the benefits under RoDTEP and duty drawback. Our other income, which is treasury, is at 63 crores, and both these numbers are largely comparable to the first quarter numbers, and a total other income of 62 crores, of which total other income of 62.32 crores and 20.94 of what we are considering operating other income. Our working capital is, you know, in sync with the first quarter. There's a slight improvement in inventory, and total number of days now working capital is about 95 days, and this, you know, there is an improvement on this one metric, which had gone up to 118-120 days, you know, right after COVID, when, you know, we had issues around freight and container availability. So there is a fair improvement, you know, on the working capital side. Segmental details again are largely you know, comparable to the first quarter. We did 52,000 tons in mining, and which was about 53,000 tons in the first quarter. 25,600 tons in the other than mining. And there's some improvement in cement, or, you know, more timing than otherwise, compared to 20,790 in the first quarter. So there's about 3,300 tons of higher sales in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. Our order books and other things are largely in line with you know, what we reported in the previous quarter, with the caveat that order books are all, this does not include the value of contracts, which are longer term. You know, supply happens under a periodic monthly, quarterly purchase order, and that's what we are reporting over here. Our net cash is now at 3,135 crores, you know, up from 2,757 crores end of June, and 2,563 crores end of March. Our realization is also largely in line. It's about 162 rupees a kilo, down from about 163, 164 in the previous quarter. Couple of factors, you know, that that I would like to share. Just one second. Yeah. So couple of things. If I compare first quarter to second quarter, there has been an improvement in raw material. You know, that just reflects the lower raw material consumed in this quarter compared to the first quarter. And raw material continues to be volatile. You know, ferrochrome has been between 120, you know, at its peak. It went down to about 100. It's back to 110, 112 levels. So it continues to be volatile, and there will continue to be a pass-through going forward, you know, when we see this the fluctuation coming on. So that's something that, so there is this quarter a reduction, and we'll have a pass-through mechanism built on it. There's some improvement in power. That's a function of the higher captive renewable, you know, wind generates the highest in this quarter. So there's some reduction in power cost on account of that. So there's a 2% sequential improvement in margin on account of these two factors, and both will normalize going forward. Another thing, when we look at 6 months last year versus, you know, first half last year versus first half this year, there is also Forex from what was about 79 odd is 83 plus, you know, in this average is about 83 plus in this first half. So there is, you see, better numbers on account of rupee depreciation also. So all of that has flowed in. Our freight cost has also seen a reduction, and our pass-through is in mechanism. I think over the next two quarters that will continue to, you know, you will see, you know, margin adjustment on account of pass-through in freight cost. And one last thing is, we still had one more quarter now where our product mix, you know, helped the realization as well as margin. So I think we expect our margins to, you know, adjust by, you know, between 3% and 5% over next few quarters, and normalize to our long-term guidance. But this is just to unpack the numbers for this quarter. Other highlights. We are having a it's called a sunset review, when the 5-year anti-dumping, you know, duty gets, you know, passes through that tenure. And in Brazil, that sunset review has started, and we are in that process to furnish all information and go defend that, the duty over there. So that is one development. Second is, we completed the 30% acquisition of, you know, a company in Australia where we are part of the mill liner capabilities. So apart from that, business as usual, we are on track to spend 500 crores between now and end of March 25, where about 200 crores goes towards the grinding media expansion, 200 crores towards overall restructuring and debottleneck, 50 crores towards captive power, and other 50 crores for land and other requirements. So we continue with that. We spent 100 crores this quarter, and you know, we'll continue to spend from that budget, you know, right up till March of 25. 80,000 ton grinding media expansion is on track for being commissioned by December 24. I think that sums up our commentary as far as numbers is concerned. I'll have Sanjay bhai just chip in on the business outlook and also some tonnage conversation, and then we'll go on to Q&A.
Well, good evening to everyone, and thanks for joining this call. While Kunal has taken you through all the relevant highlights, just quick one or two small clarifications. I think what Kunal meant was that we acquired a 30% stake in that Australian company, and not as announced in the stock on the stock exchanges as well. That's pretty strategic in the sense that it's a high technology design capability company, and it will help us to significantly push our penetration and into the overall mill liner opportunity. That is point number one. Point number two, as you would have seen, we have done fairly decent in terms of margins, while the reported margins of 34 odd percent in Q2 At the operating level, it is about 29%, as Kunal explained. We have the benefit of a very good product mix and therefore a very strong and of course reduction in freight, which has helped in improving the percentages in terms of comparability. On the CapEx, on all our medium to long-term opportunities, we remain very intact. As you would have seen, we have done close to about 151,000 tons of sales in the first half, as against 291,000 sales in the last year. And we believe that we have given an indication that we are working on several fronts, several exciting opportunities. And as we have also demonstrated in the past, that conversion from forged to high-chrome is our complete area of focus based on all the key conversion the drivers that we have and the focus as a market opportunity as well as the technological wherewithal that we have. We do expect the incremental tonnage to also come up more or less in the same indicative range. The only thing is it may take a little more time. That is the indication that is available today. So we may not be able to do maybe 25 to 30,000 tons for this year. It might be slightly lower. We don't know exactly how much it could be lower. It could be maybe anywhere between 10 and 20,000. Having said that, the overall direction remains the same. It could be a little bit of tonnage shift from this year to next year, but that does not in any way change the direction or the opportunity or the strategy with which we are going. I think with this, the overall business remains very bullish. We continue to remain very bullish on all the prospects, and I will open the house open for the Q&A. Moderator, over to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone and await your turn to ask a question when guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and two. You are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Sanjay bhai, this, you know, what you mentioned right now that there has been, from an incremental tonnage perspective, we are looking at lower number. You know, if you can just give some more clarity around this, that why are we seeing this kind of a slippage into the next year, and what is the reason for the delay in the acceleration of volume or, you know, slower pace of conversion? If you can just talk about that.
What I wanted to convey that from a conversion process opportunity as well as the number of mines on which we are working, it remains absolutely the same or rather more. We are a little bit more aggressive. The only problem is that the time is exactly not under our control. So today, when we were evaluating first half vis-a-vis our earlier target of 320,000-325,000, the indications available that there could be for this year, maybe a shortfall of 10 or 15,000 tons, just because the conversion is taking more time. You just can't control the time. What we wanted to convey was that there could be a little bit of slippage, but that does not mean, so there is a very strong probability that next year the target, the volumes could be actually more aggressive. Because that conversion opportunity, supposing I'm working on say 10, 20 mines, and we are looking at an opportunity of converting, say, 100 to 100,000 tons in immediate future. Out of that, some will happen this year, some may slip to next year. That's all I wanted to say. What our team told us that we can't control the exact quarter-wise rate, but there is absolutely no dilution from an opportunity standpoint.
Understood. So basically what you're saying is next year could then kind of look. So this.
Yeah, but again, see, let's remain confined to this year. So for example, earlier we were saying a 25,000-30,000 ton volume growth. That volume growth may go down a little bit from say 15,000-20,000 tons. Having said that, next year it could be a little more aggressive, but I don't want to give you any number about next year till I reach Q3 or maybe a little closer to Q4.
Okay.
This is just the nature of business. We can't help it.
Understood. The other question was related to the, Australia entity. So if you can just throw some light in terms of what is the addressable market for this stake.
Okay, we are looking at an addressable market for mining liners at, say, around 300,000 tons plus for the metal segment, correct? Now, we have one design capability already. This is one more incremental. So this particular company, the Australia-based company, was very strong in designing a wide variety of mill liners. So we have enhanced our designing capability and technological prowess. They also have a very good access to certain markets. So this adds one more feather in our cap for aggressively converting the mill liner opportunity and improvement of our volumes in that segment. That's all.
Okay. And so,
We work with a very complex set of parameters where, you know, it's very difficult to explain to you from a layman's perspective that what exactly. So, you know, as you know, over the last 10 years, our journey is to keep on strengthening our technological prowess and our solution giving capability. This is one more acquisition, which is more on our technology and design side. And they already have a steady sort of a business which they are currently doing, correct? And we are supplying to them a lot of liners, so that it's a very complementary kind of a situation.
Okay. So does that mean that our mix in terms of accelerating growth, you know, while the overall volumes might be muted, but, mix might shift a little more favorably towards mill liners per se, given our capacity?
Volume may not be muted.
The point is that obviously grinding media is a product of interest, right? And mill linings complement that conversation because we are bringing in all these other, you know, benefits alongside. So even with what we are doing in Australia, like Sanjay explained, it is deepening the engagement with our customer. What he's saying, we'll go out and sell some more mill liners. Right, our objective is to get the whole piece of that grinding circuit, which is mill linings and grinding media. You know, and that's where and to that extent, grinding media to non-grinding media ratio will vary quarter over quarter, and maybe for a period because you know something comes before the other. But generally, you know, the product of interest remains to be grinding media. So, you know, think of it that way.
Okay. And sir, lastly, in terms of the margin profile, I mean, obviously this quarter was very, very strong, and last two quarters we've seen that, very strong improvement in the margin profile. So do we think that, you know, why it may take some time to pass on the benefits of the lower costs to kind of clients, so this might remain elevated for the next one or two quarters and then kind of settle down towards our medium to long-term trajectory of 21-23%?
I think a little more realistic trajectory could be a little slightly about 23-24%. While we continue to report much better margins. So, you know, as I said, now we believe that this 23-24% seems to be a very consistently reasonable bottom that we can look at. It could be fluctuating quarter over quarter, but it should maintain at a decent level.
And we live in a very volatile world, right? I mean, raw material, like, we cannot imagine everything else is, you know, corrected back to a certain level. Our raw materials have not. And they're going down and coming back up. So in that situation, you know, there is quite a bit of uncertainty that is there. And so going out and saying, here's a margin is also a tough question for us also.
Exactly.
So, I mean, freight and product mix will correct over a few quarters, and what that number will be, I mean, at least for next 1 year, like Sanjay Bhai is saying, it may be upwards of 2022, and over a longer period, it will get normalized to, you know, around 20-22% then.
Okay. Sure. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you.
Thanks, Bhumika.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of P.A. Gravel from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. My question is on the sales realization side. What is the range expected for second half?
The sales realization?
Right.
It will vary between 150 and 160 5, you know, depending on, like I said, a variety of factors. Rupee weakening was not part of this, you know, estimation when we had done last year, right? And the product mix changes. So closer to 155, 160 over next 4 quarters is what we can estimate right now.
I think earlier it was 165 to 170, right?
No, it is the same, more or less.
Earlier, I mean, exactly, because factors keep changing. So, you know, today it is this. I mean, I don't recall when it was 165, 170, but for now, where we stand, 150 to 163 is a fair estimation of where it could be.
Understood. And what is the exact reason? Means why these delays are happening in the conversion? Like you are negotiating with the customers and migrating.
No. So you must let me elaborate. So we are working on say X number of mines, say 20, 25, 30 new mining locations, where there is a lot of debate. It is not a question of debate. It's a question of process. So you do trial and error. You engage into discussions with their technical guys. They may come for a further evaluation. Then they may want to negotiate on the terms. This process typically takes one to one and a half years, maybe a little longer in case of certain more complicated situations. Now to add to this, there are local factors. There are other local limitations that also we have to counter. So it's a sum of all this where we have evaluated after the second quarter results where at the board, there was a presentation done that how things are panning out and how things are looking. We felt that it could be a little shift from maybe 1 or 2 quarters. That's all. We have not said that an opportunity is gone. And as I said, this is 100% beyond us. We are trying our level best. Our teams are engaging. They are very excited. There are lots of locations where we are working. And as I said, because Our year ends by March 24. We are talking of now 2 more quarters. It is possible that the volumes could come much better in Q4 than we anticipate. But it's something that we felt that we should, whatever we felt internally, that this is what the reality we should convey to. That's all we have said.
So going by that, by FY25, can we expect 35,000-40,000 kind of volumes in FY25?
I told to the previous participant that we will come with a more precise number, but broadly yes, you can look at least a 30,000-40,000 minimum. But again, we will come to you with some more specific number as we approach the fourth quarter.
Understood. And sir, on your margin side, so which are improving consistently over the quarters, which is obviously a good thing. But the problem is the reason for the same is not clear to me. Like it doesn't seem the operating leverage because our volumes are not that high if I compare with the past.
You must understand our business is not running on operating leverage. Our business is primarily driven by an extremely wide product mix where we have products ranging from 80-100 rupees a kilo all the way to 250-300 rupees a kilo. It's a function of product mix. Then it's a function of pass-through. So where every quarter or every 6 months when there is a price adjustment due to pass-through on the raw materials, in a few quarters we could be at an advantage that raw materials have actually come down a little bit, but the impact is not passed on and therefore there could be a quarterly strength that might reflect in a margin. Secondly, more importantly, it's also a function of the currencies. As you know, last year average currency rate was 79. Now this year we are looking at 80 to 83. So that currency also moves in my favor because my imports or my foreign currency outgoes are minimalistic or they are practically zero. And my inflow is very, very strongly positive. So it's a function. Now it's very difficult to do a math and say that X is the contribution of Y factor, etc. So it's a mix of all these three factors which keep on fluctuating, but overall, a sustainable margin at this point in time definitely looks to be upward of 22 to 24% as a pure operating beta. Again, you know, freight has come down drastically. So that also has an impact when you do a math as per percentage. Freight is a actual cost pass-through. But when you know the numerator and denominator contains a lower amount, as a percentage, you see an improved percentage.
Understood. But like you mentioned, the first factor, like passing on of the raw material cost and all these things. But this thing can improve our absolute sales, but the margin and the absolute EBITDA can't improve significantly because of it. But here in AI, witnessing,
you know, it's a function of, see, this quarter we had a very strong sales coming from non-grinding media. Grinding media and non-grinding. Now, non-grinding media comprises of tube mill liners, then mining liners, plus all my VSMS, those large castings, where definitely our margins and profitability overall is much better. While we don't share the segment, internal segment-wise numbers for strategic and competitive reasons, so a product mix plays, I would say, a very, very significant part. And that's what is driving our margins.
So what kind of product mix do you expect in the upcoming two quarters? Like, is it going to be the same, or how it is going to shape up?
Sir, ऐसा है, we have always guided that our long-term sustainable margin should be in the range of 23-24%. We are not saying that Q3 में X होगा और Q4 में Y होगा. We don't do that. We don't share that quarterly margin number. We just give an indicative guidance. You have all my historical data with you. So I think we should always strive to work and improve from what we are guiding. But this is what our guidance remains from a margin standpoint.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for mine.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Ashish Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, could you help me with what were the average raw material prices, like say steel and ferrochrome for the quarter? Versus maybe last year. So how has been the YOY movement?
Listen, it will get a little too granular to start sharing. You know, the idea of sharing raw material price was only to say that it continues to be at an elevated level and volatile. Otherwise, your raw material is there as in, from an accounting reported number, you know, will be our average raw material price, you know, to our selling price. You know, we will be unable to share exact, you know, price point.
Different grades.
Exactly. There is a different. You can just look at a ferrochrome and a scrap benchmark to see how things have moved.
Right. Right. Fair enough. Second point, sir, that while we have said that the freight rates, and we can see that the freight rates have also come down, and historically from the, I mean, last few months they have been coming down. But because of the whatever is happening around in terms of the geopolitical issues, are we seeing that go up again? Have you seen any indications that in the coming months or quarters?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Right. And just a last bit. So we obviously in our business model, we pass on the impact of raw material and freight. But what happens to the currency depreciation? So is that a benefit that we as a structure retain that, or we also pass on some benefit of the currency depreciation?
We sell to a lot of countries, except US and some countries. And currency is not US dollar, right? US dollar is a transacting currency. There is always a importing currency on the other side. And a lot of our pricing is ultimately a cross-currency conversation. So, you know, yes, generally a weakening rupee is better than an appreciating rupee. But it's not fair to say that all rupee weaken becomes flows to the bottom line. Generally, you know, it gets adjusted in our pricing because the other importing currency would also have moved in tandem with Indian rupee. So dollar price keeps getting adjusted, you know, as far as these cross currencies move.
Right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet Padhani from CD Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My first question is, how difficult it is to manufacture high chrome grinding media, and what prevents any new player from manufacturing and scaling up the same?
My friend, of course, I'll try to do a little bit of justice, but for this, I think you need to understand our business in a little greater detail. I'll be happy to take it offline. But just to very quickly give you a heads up, we are 100% focused on providing customized solution. So we understand a given application and design a part to suit that particular application. we would have retrofitted hundreds of thousands of mills and equipments across the world in more than 125 countries. We have more than 100 different alloying combinations ranging from 3-5% to 32%. We have different heat treatment cycles for different types of solutions. It's fairly complex. So it's not easy for anybody to emulate the capability of providing a customized solution, though it's not a rocket science. We are a foundry, and there would be hundreds and thousands of foundries across the world. But there are very steep entry barriers, because once we provide a solution to a customer, there is almost 100% assured customer stickiness. We don't only reduce the cost, but we reduce the overall cost of ownership and make their processes more efficient. We improve their profitability, and all this we do as a package, which is therefore very compelling. So this is all a culmination of several factors over the last 30 years that have given rise to all these entry barriers. So even today, on a very comprehensive basis, we still an oligopoly between us and Megatron.
Okay. And the second question is just the extension of the first. I understand that it is very difficult to persuade and convince a miner to switch to high-chrome grinding media. And is there a possibility that once a miner adopts high-chrome media, or competitor could employ undercutting strategies to cannibalize our customer base?
Do you mean once to simply shift back to forged?
No, no. You have converted your customer to high-chrome media.
Yeah.
And any other manufacturer, for example, Megato, might undercut you and forge that customer or cannibalize your customer.
Theoretically, it is always possible. Practically, it is very difficult, because Megatox operates under different operating circumstances. We do operate under a very different set of circumstances. All our plants are in India. We have huge cost advantages as compared to Megatox. But yes, theoretically, it is very much possible. Practically, it is extremely improbable, if not impossible.
Okay. Just one last question. On what attributes do you differentiate your products vis-a-vis your competition, and why we don't face a lot of competition from China?
No, no. So first, China, I'll address the second part first. China, quality of grinding media and the approach of Chinese players no way matches our quality standards. Between, when I say our, it is AI and Megatox both. So vis-a-vis China, we operate on a similar platform, because we have the same or similar solution giving capabilities. However, therefore, if you see overall, wherever we operate, there could be one or two odd instances of some Chinese also quoting alongside us. But when it comes to quality, or when it comes to the addressing the customer requirements, I think there is no competition, no serious competition from China. This is point number one. Having said that, China itself is a large market for cement and also a little bit of mining. However, bulk of that market is currently addressed by some Chinese players. We as AIA, we are present in a very, very special range of products called larger castings or VSMS. We don't supply grinding media in China. Now, your second question as compared to Megatox, as I said, while we have significant advantages in terms of superior operating conditions, all plants in India, significant cost arbitrage, vis-a-vis the fact that Megatox operates with about 15, 16 smaller mid-sized plants across various parts of the world, there is also another advantage that we are far more responsive and focused, and we are able to give much quicker and better solutions from a quality standpoint. Certain things, like for example, mill liner technology, which is a patented technology that we have, plus certain designs of mill liners, etc., we have access to, but I think Megatox does not have that. So maybe from a capability standpoint, we score a little higher, but from an overall comparability, they are more or less the same. But it is just the equation of costs versus our capabilities.
Okay. That's it from my side, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Santosh Kesari from Kesari Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Yeah.
So I had two questions. One is about accounting. So in the consolidated accounts, you can see that there is a withholding tax provision of 8 crore 33. That's there in the note 4 to the financials, quarterly financials. So I was just wondering that what it is about, if you can tell us. And secondly, if this is withholding tax in the other country, then isn't it available as a foreign tax credit to you in India? Why should we make a provision?
See, this particular withholding tax was in one particular country where we were not, I mean, there was no withholding tax as such, but the government has withheld the tax. Our claim is for allowing us the refund, but that refund claim is pending. This is an African country where there are certain issues, and therefore this withholding tax has been kept as it is. Probably I would, in our accounts, we would have written off this. I think we have written it off, correct?
Yeah.
Because it's not likely to be...
We are looking for a refund, we are working towards that, but just to be conservative, we have shown that as a... currently it stands as a write-off, but we continue to, you know, work towards getting a refund. It's a new jurisdiction that we are working with, and that is one tax issue that we are trying to figure out a way around.
Secondly, from a direct, tax credit perspective, we do get tax credits everywhere as per the DTAAs. There is no problem.
Yeah. Wherever it is available,
we get. There is no issue. This is a one specific solitary instance.
Okay, so here we are not sure that FTC would come. Are we?
We have written it off.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Now my second question is about the demand situation and the order book. So I think you have spoken about the demand situation. If you can tell us the present status of the order book and give us some outlook for the future from the order book perspective.
Yeah. So the order book that we publish is the actual purchase orders on hand, which is close to about 700 crores generally, quarter over quarter. But most of our contracts are long term. We only produce on a made to order basis. We don't produce on stock and sell basis. Except for the stocks of, so based on our long-term contracts, which is typically 3 to 5 years or even longer, we have a very clear understanding and visibility of what is our run rate and how things are going ahead. Order book only reflects the quarterly situation.
Okay, so we are sure of whatever we are producing to sell.
I have a clear visibility of almost the entire year or even next year, but the order book only reflects the current POs on hand.
Okay, got it, sir. So the demand situation is better than compared to the past 2-3 years, because I'll tell you the context where I'm coming from. See, post-COVID, it was a consensus that the investment in mining is not so much, and then world needs a lot of mining capabilities to come up in the near future. So if that situation continues, or the mining capabilities, investments are done with, and now we are looking at the replacement demand or the normal demand?
See, from our standpoint, of course, while the mining industry may continue to grow at, say, 3-4%, or may not grow at all. Let us assume a situation doesn't grow. What we are talking about is that our entire focus is on the conversion opportunity. 75% of the mining industry today does their grinding operations based on forged grinding media. Correct. Now what we are doing is we have come up with a much superior solution. So between the ores, that is gold, copper and iron ore, we are talking of a very recent opportunity of anywhere between 1.5 to 2 million tons. Vis-a-vis the penetration of 400,000-500,000 tons between us and a few other players like Magatox and a few players on the liner side. Correct. So liner ko separate kar lo. Even then we are talking of at least 1 million, 1.5 million unconverted opportunity which we are working on to convert. So this is a pure 100% conversion based, replacement based market opportunity, and therefore we are agnostic to the mining sector growth. We believe our solution has a very, very significant benefit to offer vis-à-vis conventional forged media. The only difficulty is that the whole process is painstakingly slow because of a host of factors: local competition, local pulls and pressures, governmental roadblocks like, you know, anti-dumping or some kind of a similar duty imposition, trade barriers. Then the mindset of the customer, the mining manager working with a limited budget where he is not really jumping and clapping his hands when I show him the profits that he can earn. All those factors collectively make my journey very arduous. Having said that, we are extremely confident that this should happen over a period of time, and we see this as a long-term 5-10-year growth opportunity rather than 1 or 2 years.
Oh, great to hear this, sir. And at the same time, the customer who are convinced and who are buying your products, they are also happy with the solution that they are getting, right?
Of course they are. Then they keep on buying for life.
Okay, great.
And they need me every 15 days, 1 month, 1 day, depending on how fast the consumption goes.
Okay, great to hear this, sir. Thank you so much for answering this in detail.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of PA Garvit from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just want to know how economic activities are going. What is the near to medium-term outlook in Australia as well as in Brazil in terms of mining?
Which country you say?
Australia and Brazil. I think nothing is significant to report. I mean, the world continues as is. Copper and gold continue to be commodities of interest given end use that they have. But nothing, stand out to report in that sense.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nayan Chaturvedi from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So can you elaborate on this anti-dumping duty in Brazil? I missed some of your commentary on that part.
Can you further?
You read it, anti-dumping.
Right, so it is. The 5-year period has just ended, and we are in the midst of they are going to do a reassessment, there's a whole prescribed method to go about it, and we are participating in that process right now.
And we don't expect
By March of next year, 2024, we should know the new regime that will come in once, they investigate and analyze data in last 5 years.
It is not disrupting my current supplies to Brazil. They continue.
But it could, if it goes against us, right? I mean, so what could be the volume profile that we're supplying to Brazil, if you see?
So, we went from last year, we did between 6,000 and 8,000 tons. This year, we should be doing a little more.
Okay.
We don't expect a very adverse outcome. In any case, the duty is there, right? What's the worst can be duty continues, which we are living with right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raja Kumar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I want to know, is there any update on the Peru subsidiary and as well as the Canadian operations? And the second question is, the volume guidance which you are reducing now, is that got anything to do with the impending global slowdown?
Not really. It's not linked to that, no. What was the other first question?
Update on your Peru subsidiary and any update on the Canadian operations. And do you think the current standoff between India and Canada will it impact us in any way?
Not really. Ours is strictly a trade matter. And in any case, I mean, it's a matter that's under sub judice because we are party to that arrangement that is there as far as their last investigation was there. And it continues. We're doing all we can to continue to sell in that market, and nothing to report on that front right now.
Nothing to do with the current standoff, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. An update on Peru subsidiary?
Wait, subsidiary?
Peru.
Yeah, I think in last quarter you mentioned that we have started a subsidiary in Peru.
Yeah, because a lot of these places we have staff, you know, we have people on the ground, we need permanent establishment, and that requires us to be creating those companies. So it is more a structure thing rather than a market thing.
And of course, we continue to work very aggressively on the South American opportunity, including Peru, Chile, everywhere.
Okay, okay. And sir, this global slowdown is not going to impact us for a growth standpoint?
No, no. So, okay, let's just understand this is Europe. There's hardly any impact of the overall European slowdown on our operations. South America, Australia, all those geographies continue to do pretty well in terms of mining. So, no. Frankly, there is no impact of the global slowdown as such.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Rano Suraj from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Hello.
Yes, Suraj.
So, any update on CapEx and CapEx expansion plan?
Yeah, we are on track, as Kunal explained. We have a CapEx plan of 500 crores between this year and next year. This year we should do upwards of 300 plus. That should increase our capacities. The grinding media, Kerala, GIDC Kerala plant of 80,000 capacity enhancement project should be over by December 24. Then there are some other debottlenecking or reorganizing plants which should add another 15,000-20,000 tons. So we are absolutely on track. So you should see about 440 going to close to 540 by end of next year.
Okay. 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 Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kamlesh Kota from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Sir, just I don't know whether you touched upon this. Can you help us understand how the mill market opportunity, how big it is, what are the key markets, which are the key competitors, how we are positioned? That will be of great help. Thank you.
So, mill liner market is about 300,000 tons plus of annual consumption, and there are four, according to our information, there are three or four organized players, you know, operating in that industry. Our capacity, you know, for this, we've set up a new greenfield plant with a 50,000 ton capacity, and we've got about 25,000 ton capacity in our existing plant. So there's about a 75,000 ton market opportunity that we are looking in this segment. And the whole opportunity is not just to sell more liners, but it allows us to engage with these customers in offering them solutions around increase in throughput, lower power consumption, in sync with our grinding media offering.
Mm-hmm. So is it more of a cross-selling opportunity for us to our existing clients, or we are tapping new clients?
Both.
Mm-hmm. And could you get names of who are the key players, as you mentioned? I mean, if you can help us.
Mill liners.
There is a company called Elec Metal. You know, I can share that on an email. If you can send me an email, I'll share it. They've got these, you know, other names. I may not be able to spell each one, but if you can send me an email, I'll share all those details with you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to the AIA Engineering Management Team for
joining, and we look forward to, you know, Sanjay and I remain available offline for any questions, and we'll look forward to connecting end of third quarter. Take care and have a great, enjoy, happy Diwali to everyone in advance.
Yes, happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. We thank you for participation and for using Chorus Call Conferencing Service. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a great evening.